So I was thinking about today's service. I was musing about how inadequate the word owner is to describe those of us who bring animals into our homes and into our lives and into our families. It isn't the right word. It doesn't capture the depth of connection, the scope of our mutual affection, or the benefit to our lives. And anyone who has ever owned a cat knows just how imperfect that term is. Living with a cat, one begins to wonder who owns whom. The German pet book writer, Helga Fritzsche, suggests it would be more appropriate to call the people who own cats co-cats. And for dog people, the word owner completely fails to describe our relationship with the canine members of our family. I like those bumper stickers in the shape of a paw print that say, "Who rescued who?" And Berkeley, a town in always at the forefront of social consciousness, recently passed an ordinance to refer to people who had dogs as their guardians rather than their owners. And that's a little closer to the truth. Chris and I are Libby's parents. My mom refers to her as her grand dog, and my mother's dog is my little fuzzy sister. My family... When we saw the movie Best in Show, we actually thought we were probably a little crazier than some of the people depicted. We need animals in our lives for so many reasons, but especially to help us keep the human race in perspective. They remind us that humanity is not the be-all, end-all of creation. When we enter into relationship with non-human animals, we get a glimpse of our own wildness. There is a refreshing quality to the simplicity of our animals' lives. Snakes and lizards and birds do not concern themselves with the growing ideological divisions among our nation. Cats and dogs couldn't care less if our boss passes us over for a promotion, so long as the kibble keeps coming. There's something delightful and refreshing about their imperviousness to the concerns of their human companions, and we can learn from them to relax and to not take our lives and ourselves quite so seriously. I don't mean to imply that animals are not responsive to human emotion or don't have emotional lives and anxieties all of their own. We have learned in our house that any kind of utterance of displeasure, a raised voice, anything like that, even if it's in response to stubbing our toe or some news event that has got us upset, causes our dog Libby great distress. And she will come up to us and stand very close with her ears back and her tail between her legs and her eyes wide with concern. I have to remind Chris pretty regularly that his moral outrage, though justified, is beginning to upset the dog. As far as we can tell, animals, or at least most mammals, do indeed have rich emotional lives. You're probably familiar with a lowland gorilla named Coco, who has learned American Sign Language. She has a vocabulary of over 1,000 words, and I think they're calling it gorilla sign language. But she also understands over 2,000 words of spoken English. And for one of her birthdays years ago, I think in the 80s, they asked Coco what she wanted for her birthday, and she asked for a cat. She signed the word for cat by drawing two fingers across her cheek like whiskers. So Coco was given a kitten, and she named her All Ball, and she took care of the cat. She was very gentle and loving. She tried to nurse it at first, until the cat sadly got out of its cage and was run over by a car. And so when Coco was first told that her beloved All Ball had been killed, at first she acted like she didn't hear. And then she signed the words for bad, sad, frown, and then sleep, cat. And then a few minutes later, she started to cry with high-pitched sobs. And she cried like this whenever cats were brought up for weeks after All Ball died. It would seem that gorillas grieve not unlike we do. But how much did Coco really understand about death? Maureen Sheehan is a staff member at the Gorilla Foundation, and she interviewed Coco to find out. She asked her, "Where do gorillas go when they die?" And Coco replied, "Comfortable, whole, and then bye," and the sign for kissing a person goodbye. "When do gorillas die?" she asked. And Coco replied with the signs trouble and old. "How do gorillas feel when they die? Happy, sad, afraid?" "Sleep," answered Coco. So people have known for thousands of years that pets are good for our soul, and we have now statistical evidence to back that up. Medical research has found that people who are returning home from having had a heart attack live longer if they have pets, and that when patients were with their pets, their blood pressure dropped dramatically, and the pressure went down even if they were asked to think about their pets. There's a number of programs throughout the country now in which horses have proven to be very therapeutic with kids who have either emotional or mental disabilities. Just the actions of brushing and feeding and riding the horses reaches into the kids, especially with autism, in a way that nothing else seems to be able to reach them. We have a friend of our family who has a therapy dog, this little puffy white Bichon named Katie. She has a program that helps special needs kids learn to read, because petting Katie helps ease the children's anxiety, and they're then better able to focus on the words in the book. And therapists who work with people with extreme cases of stuttering have found that these folks are able to relax and speak clearly when they talk to animals. I have no doubt that when people bring a sense of curiosity and openness to our interactions with and studies of animals, we cannot help but be moved with a sense of awe and wonder. Looking into their eyes, can we not see there, underneath the layers of culture and custom, a commonality, an undeniable kindredness? Does not that spark of the divine, that enlivening soul that we speak of seeing in one another, burn just as brightly in all creatures? And when we grow in that appreciation of our mutuality, how can we rightfully call ourselves owners of any living thing? Recognizing that animals are truly a blessing in our lives, may we always endeavor to be a blessing in theirs. Amen, and blessed be. Pets come into our lives and our hearts, and they stay with us just a short while. They make us laugh, they make us cry, but no matter how much time we have with them, it never seems like quite enough. Saying goodbye when a beloved pet dies is one of the hardest things that we do. And it's often one of the first experiences of death and grief that our children get to experience. The love that we have for our pets is real, and it hurts a lot when they go. So I want to give us a time right now to honor the lives of the animals that we have loved and lost. So I invite you to close your eyes again and to remember an animal who touched your life. Maybe it was a childhood pet, or maybe it was an animal that died in the last 24 hours. Remember what they looked like, what they smelled like. Remember how they felt under your hand. Remember something that you liked to do with them. And then when you're ready, I invite you to go ahead and speak that animal's name into our shared sacred silence. Molly. great spirit of all creation. We are so grateful for the animals that we have had a chance to love. May their spirits live on in our memories, and through our grief, may our hearts grow ever wider. Amen, and blessed be.